This is Kaiser Health, bringing the health industry to families, corporations, and you. Talk with Lenore Kaiser at 599-5555 or 800-299-KTSA.
Hey, this is Lenore Kaiser with Kaiser Medical Management, and today's show is brought to you by KaiserMedicalManagement.com. You can reach them at 1-800-764-0418 or at KaiserMedicalManagement.com. Today we're going to be talking to Gail Burns and Pedro Mercado from IBTX Risk Services, and the topic is actually about Obamacare and some of the changes that have been going on, because last week we were talking about all the changes coming up, and then all of a sudden it just went out the window because of the latest and greatest news. So I first of all want to say thank y'all for coming. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And so everything that we talked about last week just pretty much went poof.
In some iterations, yes, and in others, no. But we'll be happy to talk about that.
I do want y'all, first of all, to tell me a little bit about IBTX for those of them that were not listening last week.
Okay. IBTX has been around since the late 1940s. We're a full-service brokerage firm with two locations, one right here in San Antonio, and the other location is located in Irving, Texas. And our firms offer benefit consulting, business insurance, personal lines, HR consulting, safety and loss control, surety bonds, and wealth management. We have a organization full of great talent, and we're always looking to add to our firm. So as a risk management brokerage firm, our philosophy is when you manage risk, you can accomplish anything. So we can be reached via our website at www.ib-tx.com. Or you can contact us at 800-880-6689.
Great. So that's 1-800-880-6689. And if anybody wants to call in and ask questions in regards to Obamacare or anything that has to do with human resources or benefits and so forth, you could call 210-599-5555. If you're calling long distance, call 1-800-299-KTSA. They will be more than happy to answer questions. But I have my first question, because of all the changes going on from one week to another, because on July 2nd, the Obama administration, they announced under the healthcare reform provisions that the pay or play for larger groups will be delayed until 2015. So what exactly does that mean for large groups?
I think that that's a great question, Laura. And the July 2nd information session that was actually sent out was received in the benefits community as it goes without saying it was a big surprise to a lot of people. But essentially what had happened was employers had been required to provide an enormous amount of information to be in compliance with the rules under this health law. This had to do with the kind of insurance that they were providing their employees. But also, they had to report this new information about these new health exchanges, or to the new health exchanges, to the IRS, to other parts of the government, and the administration had been kind of slow in getting all these rules out. So things like telling the employers where they have to send the gathered information and in what form, the employers had gotten as you can imagine, employers had gotten increasingly anxious about it. So the administration basically has thrown its hands up and said, you know, we're going to give you more time to come into compliance with these rules, which, by the way, we haven't even finished writing. And because of that, they also said that since there was going to be some penalties involved with employers who didn't provide the adequate amounts of insurance, we're going to delay the rules. Since we're delaying the rules, we're also going to delay the penalties. As far as larger businesses, about 98% of large businesses already offer health coverage. So the majority of large businesses are not going to be affected by this portion of the law, other than the compliance and the administration fees. But for companies and industries that were affected and unprepared, this is significant, and it's a welcome relief for them. It gives them an extra year to get in compliance.
Well, considering that we're in San Antonio and there's a lot of small business companies here in San Antonio, how would you address the small business, or does it affect the small business?
It actually doesn't. This delay does not affect small businesses. They're going to continue on to where they will have the opportunity to go to the shop, which is the exchange that has been set up for small businesses. However, one of the things that was going to be available to them was they were going to have an array of benefits or plan designs to look at. And going into 2014, now they're saying they're only going to have one available to them. So it may or may not make sense for a small business to even look in the exchange.
That's correct. So what is considered a large business, by the way?
Well, under the rules, they're looking at anybody over 100 employees is considered, over 50 employees is considered a large business.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's, to me, small. anything that's considered small is anything less than 50 employees,
that
correct?
Is correct, under the rule.
Okay. And so if I'm an employee and I'm hearing this on the news and have questions and wondering how does it affect me if my large business doesn't have to be a part of this, what would you say to somebody like that calling into you?
Well, interestingly enough, the mandate or this new change on July 2nd doesn't affect the employees directly. I mean, that's still going forward. So as far as under the rules, employees or individuals still have their stake in the game that they have to provide themselves adequate health care coverage starting 2014. So on January 1st, they're still required to be able, find insurance for themselves.
So if I worked for a large employer and they didn't offer me insurance, I would still be obligated to go out and find it.
Now, that's, again, we're putting a little asterisk here because as far as we know today, now there's some more guidance. Yes, they did say last week that we would be receiving more guidance this week as far as these changes. Now, we're unsure collectively what that new guidance could be, considering it was a holiday week, how much work actually got done to provide, larger businesses, carriers, and providers with new guidance. But we'll see.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the government.
Yeah, so. That's correct.
As far as large groups, do they have already adjusted their coverage due to, preparing for the pay and play provisions to be affected in 2014?
There have been some that have adjusted their plan designs. There are some that have opened up to their entire group of employees. And those that have done that, they've just kind of got a jump start going into 2015, if that's the case. The majority of the employers that we've talked to are just going to continue on with the current plan they have put in place. And what they're going to do is just start looking at ways to adjust going into 2015.
Okay, and so as far as y'all's opinion from doing this all the time, who do you feel that should not be affected by this delay?
Well, most of the people that aren't going to be affected by the delay are going to be people where the mandate still schedules and applies to. So, you have smaller employers, they're not going to be affected by any of this. Individuals are not going to be affected by it.
Meaning that smaller group, as far as employers.
Under 50s.
So employers with less than 50 employees are still going to be penalized, in other words. Am I correct?
No, because they didn't have to. There was limits as to what their role was going to be under the law. So they were not going to be affected by the law regardless. Now, one thing that might come up for a smaller employer is will the shop exchanges be available to them, for their employees? Is that something? And another thing that we have been discussing quite a bit with a lot of our smaller owners is to what extent are the tax credits going to be available to them? And that's something that we've been spending a lot of time doing breakout sessions for them to see if it makes sense for them to qualify for the credit and go down that road for the small business credit for insurance.
And so as far as other provisions of the Affordable Care Act, I mean, how many have been delayed or scrapped altogether?
The businesses that they were required to fill out an IRS form, this was kind of one of the first ones that we saw that was repealed back in June 2011, that if businesses were to purchase anything over a year exceeding $600, they were going to have to complete an IRS form for that. But that was quickly repealed.
You imagine how much paperwork?
Yes.
I mean, just one visit would take care of that. So,
I think you'd probably see a lot of people moving out of accounting positions if that actually happened. But that was repealed back in 2011. The CLASS Act, that was scrapped. It was an act that would offer federalized subsidized insurance for long-term care. And so the reason that they kind of scrapped that is because they wanted to make sure that the premium was enough to cover the cost. So they saw that that wasn't going to happen. And the other thing is the shop. And this is the most recent one that we've seen as far as things being delayed or changed. And the shop for small group, like I said, they were supposed to provide a range of options for them. But instead, going into 2014, they're going to have one option to choose from.
And so they don't have more than one. They just
no.
one. Wow.
And in the private market, they'll still be available to look at multiple plans. Some even private exchanges that may be available to them. What I mean by private exchanges is the carriers that are in the market you may start seeing them provide, instead of like two or three plans, they may be able to look at maybe 8 to 9, possibly 10.
Wow. Okay. So what should large employers be focused on now that the pay and play has been pretty much delayed?
Well, the main thing is that they need to make sure that they stay, if they were already heading down the road of planning, continue planning. You know, this doesn't change the planning cycle at all. If anything, it buys them a little bit more time to look at more robust planning, to look at different variables. But it's almost like the professor that puts off the exam for another week. You know, if you weren't prepared for it this Friday, then at least you bought yourself another week's worth of time to get prepared and to seek advice and do some studying and read up on it. So it's a good thing for benefit brokers, for risk management companies, and for businesses that were going to be impacted. Anytime you have time, it's a good thing, especially with something as complex as what we're looking at with Obamacare. So they should continue having conversations. Now, for those companies that hadn't started having conversations, and there are quite a few of those in the San Antonio area alone that were it was going to be their very first time having to deal with benefits. Well, now they can slow down a little bit, have deeper conversations with their consultants, and also look at different types of plans. Now, one thing that did come up during all of this that is kind of curious and of note, and we kind of talked about it a little bit last week, was the skinny plans. Well, I think that
skinny plans
have to do with employers providing a minimal benefit in order to adhere with the provisions.
And what's considered minimum?
Oh, gosh. So on the minimum benefit, it could be just providing an adequate amount of insurance so the person gets seen at a hospital. And we can go into a little bit more deeper, and we'll keep it really light as far as what the skinny plans can be, because it could be a little bit more time intensive. But essentially, it provides another opportunity for some of these companies that had never looked at plans and plan structures to get with their agent and to talk about strategies instead of rushing into something.
Okay. Well, as far as an individual, will the individual mandate still go into effect in January of 2014, or?
As we know today, the individual mandate is scheduled to go into effect January 2014. You know, as we keep saying, things can change with this being pushed back on large group.
Because as we mentioned before the show started, if one is being delayed, you would think the whole thing would be delayed.
Yeah, because what they're going to be looking at, especially on the individual mandate, I mean, that's really the heart of the entire law, is to make sure that everyone is has affordable health care in front of them. And basically with this delay, in order for them to look at a large group and say, do you have affordable health care, it's going to be hard for them to do that, because now the mandate's been pushed back. So when we look at that as a whole, we look at it as, well, then how are they going to do that with individuals? And basically what they've said is that they will the IRS already knows what their annual income is, so they're going to kind of be looking at that. Where that really is going to come into play are the ones who don't file income tax. You know, so in our, when we sit back and look at the full picture, we're like, okay, well, how are they going to be able to mandate that now, the fact that they can't have the provision in for the employer? So we're going to kind of watch and see what happens. But as we know it today, the individual mandate is scheduled to go into effect January 1st.
So in other words, the government's piggy bank just got smaller because they put it off. But
yeah, if you think
they're
about
still
that,
putting money out.
That's
yeah.
right. If you think about that, this law was supposed to be funded through, I think the government had said that about $10 billion of the funding was going to come from
the employers.
The fees. Well, from the fees that were associated with larger businesses not adhering to the mandate. And now we're pushing that back a year. Where's that money going to come from? That's a concern as well.
And so, as I mentioned before this show started, basically everybody that voted for Obama just got screwed, right?
Can say that.
Well, I did. So will the exchanges still open in October for the enrollments?
They're planning. It goes right along with the exchanges opening in January, or going to affect January 1. as we know today, and we keep putting that disclaimer
as
on everything.
As we know today, exactly.
Every time we say something, it's like, okay, well, they may go back and change it tomorrow.
Well, you saw what happened last week. We said, as we know today's last week, to have it changed
and
right
it
on
literally
us.
Changed. It changed. It literally changed overnight.
Yeah.
I think it was
we were like,
next
here's
day.
Sunday and Tuesday. Here we go.
Yeah. It really did. Okay. Well, then will this delay impact the small businesses as far as their tax credit, or will it stay the same at this point?
At this point, the tax credits for the small businesses, there shouldn't be a delay in that if things continue, like, once again, as we know today, because the delay only impacts the pay or play provision for large group. And so, again, based on what we know today, the tax credit should still be available to small groups, and what we recommend and what we tell our clients as well is we can do an analysis of that, but basically, make sure that you're talking to your accountant, make sure you're talking to your business attorney to make sure that you're eligible for a small business tax credit, because there are certain items that are placed or provisions in order for you to be eligible for that.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to be taking a break, and when we get back, we'll be talking about what to expect next as far as Obamacare and where this is all going. This show is brought to you by Kaiser Medical Management. And you could find them at KaiserMedicalManagement.com or at 1-800-764-0418. This is Lenore Kaiser, and you're listening to Kaiser Health Talk.
Bringing the health industry to families, corporations, and you. This is Kaiser Health. Talk with Lenore Kaiser at 599-5555 or 800-299-KTSA.
Hi, this is Lenore Kaiser, and you're listening to Kaiser Health Talk, and it's brought to you by Kaiser Medical Management, and you can find them at KaiserMedicalManagement.com or 1-800-764-0418. We're talking to Gayla Burns and Pedro Mercado from IBTX Risk Management. Risk Services. And I was wanting to get back to the tax credit for small businesses. Can you elaborate a little bit more in regards to that? And you notice I'm interested because I'm a small business. So.
Sure. Well, for tax years 2010 through 2013, the max credit is 35% for small business employers, and it's 25% for small tax-exempt employers such as charities. There's going to be an advanced version of the credit that will be effective January 1st, 2014, and it will increase to 50% and then 35% for those tax-exempt employers.
And this is only for small business, correct?
Small business. Uh-huh.
So do large businesses get anything?
They do not. As far as a tax credit.
Okay. And so this whole Obamacare, being delayed and so forth, does this mean that do you foresee it just kind of being backpedaled until kingdom come, or is this a downward spiral of some sort? Or,
well, we don't anticipate it. Yeah, no, absolutely. And that gets brought up all the time. There are people that are sitting on the sidelines thinking that it'll just disappear, but I would, and our philosophy as a risk consulting company and a risk management company is to remove that uncertainty principle and prepare for the inevitable. We want to be, we'd rather have you prepared and it never appear and you don't ever have to worry about it than have lack of preparation and then all of a sudden we're scrambling at the last minute to try to get you covered and protect your company and protect your employees. So with that being said, we're going to work under the assumption that it will not disappear. Now, there are some things that are kind of curious about, the release, the press release on July 2nd, the information that was sent out, that it came from the Department of Treasury. It was the Treasury Department that actually made the announcement. It wasn't necessarily the administration, which leads a lot of people to believe that the reason it was the Department of Treasury that said this was because the IRS and other parts of the Department of Treasury weren't adequately prepared to handle the information load that was going to come from these small business owners or these large businesses that were supposed to be reporting, so with that piece not being able to receive the information effectively, everything kind of ties into the shop exchanges. Everything kind of falls into the reporting mechanism. Reporting has to work for all the other pieces to work. And unfortunately, the reporting pieces were not up to par, apparently, to the government. And they decided to give everybody a break for a year while they got it under control. But that helps us as well.
Well, so as far as currently with those employers, are they required to offer coverage to dependents of 26 years? I think it's 26 or younger. Am I correct?
Yeah, we had this question come up after our show last week. And currently, employers if you had a plan in place that covered dependents, then when the provision came into play to where you have to offer coverage to children to the age of 26, employers are not required to offer coverage to dependent children unless they offered coverage on the first day of the first plan year, which was beginning on or after September 23rd, 2010. If they did offer it at that time and they failed to open those it up to dependents that may have aged out prior to, then they gave them what they called a kind of a special or open enrollment period to where they could offer that to those individuals who had dependent children that fell within that age group.
I can't believe 26-year-old is considered a child.
I know. And here's the other thing. Well, here's the other thing with that. They don't have to – before, they had to be dependent, like on your tax return. They had to be lived within your residence. They had to have a full-time student status. Remember all that? Well, don't have to be on your taxes. They don't have to reside with you. They don't have to be a full-time student. They can even be married and be on your health insurance.
The next thing you know, they're going to say your dogs are now dependents.
Yeah, there you go.
I spend a lot on doggy care. That might be the case.
Are there any penalties as far as for employers if they don't comply with the mandate as far as providing that type of coverage for, you know, children 26 years or younger?
There can be once they start really looking at and start auditing. There probably will be a penalty for that. I believe that we had read to where there was, I believe it's like $100 a day per person that involved. So, yeah, I think that once they really start looking at and put the penalties in place, that there could be.
I just cannot believe that they went that high on age, 26 years old.
Yeah.
Right? At 26, you should be living on your own.
I agree.
And you should be supporting yourself. What factors are no longer allowed to be considered when determining dependent eligibility as far as for coverage?
And we talked a little bit about this last week about how going forward they weren't able to just use certain criteria, and basically the norms had changed, the criteria had changed that insurance carriers could look at. Some of them are going to be, you know, some of the things that are going to be looked at is the tax dependency, residency status, student status, marital status, employment status.
So if somebody is... If a child is, 25 years old but is married, has three kids, and I'm the parent, am I?
As a parent, you can cover your child, but you can't cover their husband and your grandchildren.
But meaning that would it still fall in that same place? Does that change that factor?
As long as their employer doesn't offer coverage.
That's right.
If their employer offers them coverage, then they're not eligible to be on your plan.
No, it's an option. You're not obligated to offer coverage. It's just under your plan, you can include them onto it. Now, a slippery slope that carriers have come in and made comment on is that the wording for pre-existing conditions is to Gala to what, 19 on pre-existing conditions?
Yeah, 19 and under. Now.
But if you're covering somebody under 26 under your plan, so you have a child that has a pre-existing condition, they're over 19, but under 26, is that pre-existing condition still going to be covered? And the carriers have come out and said on paper, yes, we will handshake, you know, on that. But I'm sure if you think about it, if it gets out of control and it becomes very expensive, there's nothing really holding them to that. So that's another, there's been a lot of oops moments within this legislation, within the law. And this is just another one of those oops moments that when the law was written, it left a little gap there.
Oh, well, there's always going to be that because there's so many, you know, gray areas, basically.
So many moving parts.
And let's talk about the, as far as, you know, I have a lot of friends that are in real estate or they work for themselves. It's just themselves. They really don't have anybody else to take care of as far as employees. How does this fall into place with somebody of that stature?
So on self-employment.
If you're self-employed, to actually have a group plan, you have to have two or more employees on that group plan. So they would probably, looking at that scenario, they'd follow the individual mandate. So going into January 1st, 2014, as we know today.
As we know today, that's right.
They would have to either purchase through the public carrier or they could go to the exchange. And
so how would you handle somebody like that? Do y'all group them together under... You know how there's some plans I've heard where you belong to
like an association.
Association, and it makes things a little bit less expensive.
Right. And what we do is we would set up an appointment with them and do what we call an analysis to look to see if that would be an option for them. So based on their association and what plan designs they're looking at, kind of how they're connected, we would look at all those aspects to see what would be available for them.
So if somebody like a real estate person is maybe it only works for themselves but has a spouse, that would that be considered two or more or no?
Depends on how they file their income tax for their business. If they're filed as or their tax and wage report, if they're filed as a employee, a lot of times they will look at husband and wife as not being separate employees if it's a self-employed business.
All righty. Well, we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to get to that caller and see what she has to ask. This is Lenore. Is it Sherry?
This is Sherry.
Hey, Sherry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Do you have a question for Gayla or Pedro?
Yes, I do. I've been working out a lot lately, and I'm finding that I'm tired all the time. I don't know if there's something I need to be adding to my day, whether it's, I don't know, more protein or I'm not sure what, but I just seem to be tired all the time.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's not in regards to the Obamacare, but as far as that's probably a question for me. Typically, I'm right now I'm really tired just because of the fact that I'm getting ready for training for a competition, and so they're cutting out my carbs. But you definitely want to have carbs if you're just on a normal regimen. But if not, then I typically just simply have to be quite honest, I have a sugar-free Red Bull, and that's the truth, right before I go work out. But other than that, I just make sure that I get my rest and get my hours of sleep and make sure that in between going to trainings that I rest up a lot and I stretch. How often do you work out?
I'm doing about 5 days a week. I go in the mornings. It's a different kind of workout every day. I kind of like classes better than I like going and working out by myself. So I've been doing a lot of classes, but I usually try and eat something on my way, and then I'll have something after, just small snacks. I can't eat much, but it doesn't seem to be enough for me. I just seem to be tired all the time.
Yeah, well, you may want to even try I know I get B12 shots and B-complex shots, but the B12 shots help me tremendously. Man, they really make a huge difference as far as my energy levels. And so if you've never had one or if you've never tried one, I highly recommend it. You may want to you could either go to your doctor for them, or you could also I know Kaiser Medical Management provides them at corporations, but if you're just out and about, you may want to try any lab tests because they also offer them. You could just run in real quick and for $20 get a shot, and in 24 hours you probably feel like $1 million.
Okay.
And it's natural.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
What would be good carbs for muscle building?
Well, carbs, and you want to have, you know, you want to have the wheat, multigrain type breads and so forth. In the morning, whenever I'm on a normal regimen, it's normally the multigrain type breads. I typically stay away from the butters and just have it with my egg whites. But you want something that's going to stay in your stomach, like oatmeal, that makes you full but not overwhelms you as far as you don't want anything like sugars or cereals that have high sugar content. So stay away from that kind of stuff. But something that is more of the natural. And I always tell people if you can't read the label, then you shouldn't be putting in your body.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So if you can't say it, don't eat it.
Okay.
But does that help you?
That does help a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you. It. You have a great one.
You too.
Now, Lenore, I can tell you that we've been really tired, too. And I don't think it's my carb intake. I really think it's this Obamacare stuff that's really got me tired.
Yeah, you are stressed out. I'm surprised that you're y'all, you know, we provide vitamin shot clinics to y'all. Y'all need to have us provide corporate massage days for y'all. And yeah, you see, we need to talk to somebody in regards to that. But now that we're, since we're talking about how, Obamacare is still moving forward, but just kind of delayed, does it affect or change anything what it has to do with, health prevention as far as, like, for example, my company, Kaiser Medical Management?
Well, I think that you brought up a good point. It's the wellness programs and how Obamacare is going to look at wellness programs. And
I mean, but wouldn't it change that aspect of it if it's being delayed on the employer aspect of it?
It would. And you know, a lot of the proposed provisions and the wellness benefits that would come about in 2014, all of that will be relooked at now, because looking at the fact of where the provisions were going to go into, to keep in mind, that's looking at the payer play. So making sure that you're providing the right coverage, making sure that you, meet the essential benefits, all that is part of your plan design. But you're going to probably see more and more. We'll probably see more of this coming down this week about the provisions of what they're going to do with large group in that setting. So that will definitely be an impact for what you do, Lamar.
And a lot of the wellness stuff that you're going to see going forward is going to fall back on Section 105H, you know, making sure that the plans are not discriminatory towards certain individuals and the wellness is set up in a way that everybody has access to it. And a lot of that, the wording has not been very – that's another one of those pushes out. It's been pushed out a little bit. And we're expecting to see a little bit more about how the wellness plan is going to play into the overall healthcare aspect of Obamacare.
Well, that's interesting. So as far as risk advisors, what service can IBTX provide to employers to assist with these changes? And, I mean, how would they get a hold of y'all and so forth?
Well, we have a team of experts at IBTX, and they can assist employers navigate through these changes. But we utilize several different resources. We realize that employers' situations are all different, so we don't have like a cookie-cutter set program. It's definitely defined to that employer. So we encourage listeners to contact us via our website, which is www.ib-tx.com, or they can call us at 1-800-880-6689, and we will be glad to set up a time to meet and let us assist you in dealing with the provisions and regulations so that you can focus on your number one priority, which is your business. Once again, you can contact us via our website, www.ibtx.com, or 1-800-880-6689, and you can request to speak to a benefits expert, and we'll be glad to assist you.
And if you did not get that, again, it's 800-880-6689 or ib-tx.com. But all this could be found on kaiserhealthtalk.com. The podcast will be downloaded tomorrow. If for some reason you want to listen to it again, and their information again will be on kaiserhealthtalk.com. We're going to be taking a break. And when we get back, I'm actually going to answer some questions that I get either through emails, through the website, and through our Facebook. Our Facebook, if you want to friend us, is facebook.com/ KMM South Texas, and Texas is TX. This is Lenore Kaiser, and you're listening to Kaiser Health Talk.
Bringing the health industry to families, corporations, and you. This is Kaiser Health.
Hi, this is Lenore Kaiser. You're listening to Kaiser Health Talk. And today's show is brought to you by Kaiser Medical Management. You can find them at kaisermedicalmanagement.com or 1-800-764-0418. We were talking to Gayla Burns and Pedro Mercado. I'm going to keep him around a little bit so we could – I have a few more questions I want to get to. I do have a caller online, so I'm going to get to the caller first before answering some questions that my staff gets through emails and through Facebook and also on our website. A lot of questions about me. People are curious. But I want to get to a person named Dave. Let's see what's on the line. This Lenore.
Hi, Lenore. I joined the program a little late today. I'm hoping you didn't answer this question, but I'm a retired military member using TRICARE Prime, and I was curious the impact Obamacare has on my military benefits.
Absolutely none, but I'm going to let Pedro or Gayla answer that in more depth.
Yeah, TRICARE does not fall under the provision of the health care reform. So I think that utilizing TRICARE will continue on as you've been used to.
Aren't you special, Dave?
Thank you for serving.
I know you don't get affected at all.
Well, that's good. Okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great one. Well, I'm going to get to some questions on Facebook and also through the website. People are asking questions like, what is Kaiser Medical Management? Who's Lenore Kaiser? What do y'all provide? Do you do this? Do you do that? So I just want to answer a few of those questions and tell you a little bit about myself. I'm the owner of Kaiser Medical Management. It's a corporate wellness I'm a corporate wellness provider. We've been around for over 16 years, and we cover all of Texas. We provide wellness programs to corporate. And when I say that, a lot of people are like, what do you mean? Services such as biometric screenings, blood work, flu shots, health fairs, corporate wellness lectures where we have a doctor come in and talk about different topics that employees might have interest in. We also provide corporate massage days. We do vitamin shot clinics, which is probably our number one requested service that we have now. And basically that's B12, B-complex, and vitamin C shots. And whenever we're on site, the employees get 50% off of the clinic cost. So that's an additional plus for having vitamin shot clinics instead of having them go to their doctor or to a clinic that just has walk-ins. But we also do health assessments and fitness assessments. We even provide group fitness training. So some places have the facility to do it, but they don't have somebody to actually facilitate it. So we provide the instructors to do that. But we provide so many different aspects and services, even down to for colleges. Now that it's mandated for college students to have shots prior to enrollment and being on campus, we provide like meningitis shots and so forth. I'm also a writer for InFit and InFamily magazine, along with my essay. So if you have not even heard of InFit or InFamily, you could always find them on the way in or out of HEBs here in San Antonio. And my essay, it's a blog. Basically, the same information or whatever I write for InFit or InFamily could be found on my essay. If for some reason you're not near an HEB, which is hard to find, hard to believe if you're in Texas. Other things that I'm involved with, I'm a partner of Whispering Eye Tequila, and that's totally off the charts, totally different from anything else I do, but it's simply because I was around great friends and came up with a name for it. Other things that you may not know about me is I'm on the board of American Diabetes Association, American Diabetes Association, and I'm the chair of Stop Diabetes, which, by the way, on November 2nd, we are having the 5K run. So if anybody has any interest in being a part of it, being a volunteer, running, sponsoring, and so forth, I highly recommend y'all going to KaiserMedicalManagement.com and sending us an email and letting us know, because we would greatly appreciate it. And it's a great cause, especially in South Texas with diabetes being so high. And people probably don't know that I'm on the committee of SARMA. And basically SARMA is an organization that helps human resource and benefits managers with new laws, things that have to do with what Gail and Pedro are talking about right now, how it affects them, how it affects the employees, and so forth. And so I'm part of the committee that oversees the public relations aspect of it. I'm the one that does their newsletters for them. On a personal note, if that wasn't enough for me to do, I'm also an NPC competitor, so I compete and basically do fitness competitions. And that is just because I want to and I can, and so I do that. But if y'all haven't signed up for the newsletter for Kaiser Medical Management or Kaiser Health Talk, I highly encourage y'all to do it, because there, you get some latest health tips on it. You get information. You get events that are going on in San Antonio and surrounding cities. You could always sign up for the newsletter at KaiserHealthTalk.com. And if you want to get information on your phone, it's really easy to do, because KMM has a phone app, and all you have to do is go to the Apple Store. and search for Kaiser Medical and download it to your phone. And what that does to you is does the same exact thing as a newsletter. It gives you the latest and greatest of what's going on. It tells you where we are for our vitamin shot clinics in case you want to pop in and get a shot. It also tells you some of the services that we have available and how to go about getting them. As far as the Kaiser Medical Management, a lot of things that people may not know about Kaiser Medical Management is that we provide corporate health fairs in San Antonio to corporations for free or 50% off of the cost. And we do this only in San Antonio. This is where this KMM was founded. So if you're a corporation in San Antonio and are interested in receiving a free health fair or at least 50% off of the cost, I highly recommend you getting a hold of us at KaiserMedicalManagement.com. Along with that, we also provide corporate wellness lectures in San Antonio to corporations. That's conducted by a doctor or a nurse, and it's for free or at 50% off. So definitely if you're a corporation that's looking to provide a corporate wellness lecture to your employees, an educational lecture that's conducted by a physician or a nurse, I would definitely get a hold of us at KaiserMedicalManagement.com, and we'll be more than happy to schedule that in. Another thing that people may not know or how we're able to do that is because we partnered with some really great providers here in San Antonio, and one of them is Kaiser Healthcare On Call. You can find more information about Kaiser Healthcare On Call on our website, which is, again, on KaiserMedicalManagement.com. Also, Health Crave and Orthopedic and Spine Institute, the Children Orthopedic Spine Center, Oncology San Antonio, Advanced Cancer Care, and Urology and Prostate Institute. I mean, these are providers and physicians in San Antonio that basically have the same concept as Kaiser Medical Management and said we want to educate and provide services to employees direct through their corporations. A little bit about Kaiser Health Talk now. Kaiser Health Talk was basically the whole purpose behind it is to educate listeners on a variety of health topics and issues. And because Obamacare has a large aspect of what is going to impact your health later on and how you're going to pay for it, that's why we want to talk about it. But we're always looking for advertisers and for guests to be on the show. So if you are interested or want more information on advertising with Kaiser Health Talk, I would recommend y'all going to KaiserHealthTalk.com and just clicking on Contact Us and send us a message, and we'll be more than happy to get a hold of you in regards to your options for either being a guest on the show or for advertising. And it could either be done by you being the speaker. We have great people here at KTSA that could do the advertising for you, or I could talk about it myself, and I would be more than happy to meet with you in regards to that. But today's show is again brought to you by KaiserMedicalManagement.com, and you could get a hold of us at 1-800-764-0418. And if you have any other questions for Kaiser Medical Management or myself, you could always call right now, because we have about 8 minutes left, and that's 599-5555. But I want to get back to Gayla and Pedro and ask a couple more questions. One of the questions I want to ask is, what happens to employers that offer limited benefit plans? Does anything happen?
Well, limited benefit plans are scaled down benefit plans, bare bone minimum, to where you have like maybe office visits that are covered. And basically what they've done is there is a waiver that can be applied for from the federal government to offer those limited benefits. And it's set for September 22nd. And if they miss that deadline, then there's no new waivers that will be offered after that deadline. So those familiar with the law and the businesses, for example, like the carriers that offer those, they know that they will no longer be able to offer those if they do not meet that deadline for that waiver. And once again, those many med plans or limited benefit plans are just that. They offer very, very limited type coverages.
Okay. And then this question is more for me, as far as for Kaiser Medical Management, as far as employers considering implementing a wellness program for the company, what key factors should they consider and how will Obamacare impact the future of the wellness programs?
Well, I think you make a great point, and especially talking about, your company and how you provide wellness, solutions for other companies and individuals. But under Obamacare, what you're seeing is you have, two different types of categories of wellness programs. You have participatory programs, and then you also have health contingent programs.
And what's the difference?
Okay. So on a participatory program, they simply require employees, in some cases their dependents as well, to take part in a program that's offered by his or her employer, and they don't depend on health status of the employee. So an example is going to be like reimbursements to memberships to fitness centers and things like that. That's a participatory program. And then the health contingent ones would be like smoking cessation, you know, where it's you stop smoking and you can prove that you stopped smoking and you show the certificate and, you know, there's rebates involved. So under the latest guidelines that have come out with Obamacare, there's specific guides and rules as to how the plans need to be structured in order to get these credits and these rebates. One of the things that we do, and Gayla, you can speak a little bit more towards this, that we do in-house is we break out these type of plans to make sure that your company is doing it correctly in order to get the credits and adhere to it. And we help you provide guidance to get maximum participation from individuals to be involved in these plans because they are strict.
Yeah, that's one of the analyses that we can definitely assist you with. And then we can definitely team up with Kaiser Medical, like we've done in the past, to provide wellness fairs and things of that sort.
So if somebody, is a smoking cessation going to be something that is going to be, pushed more or?
Yes. Because if you think about it, the whole reason for Obamacare was to get people healthier so we can reduce the overall cost of healthcare.
So what if an employee doesn't want to participate in that?
Yeah. Well, that's going to be one of those factors they're going to be looking at premium rates, because before they looked at industry, they looked at health status. Now that's one of the factors they're going to be looking at is the smoking status going on into Obamacare.
And so in other words, if you don't play, you pay more.
You have to be careful with that, though, because you can't set up guides or rules within your organization that are deemed discriminatory. So that's why we get very, in our consulting, we look at the type of plan that you're trying to put together to make sure that you're meeting the guidelines.
So if a company says this is going to be a no smoking company, period, is that can that be implemented? Just out of curiosity, I have no idea.
Well, as far as the guide is reading right now, and depending on the type of plan that you have, if it's a self-funded plan, then yes, you absolutely can make those type of rules.
And if you're not?
Possibly not. It depends on how you're wording it and how it's all sent out there.
Yeah,
you can put yourself into a discriminatory role by just saying it blanket-wise like that.
Yeah, I would think, because I know I've heard some companies saying that they're going to go that route, but it's like, okay, how are you going to implement it?
And a lot of times they'll put different factors in, like they'll put a smoking cessation and then they'll put like a weight loss portion into that. They will put different scenarios in so that it's a wide variety, so it's not just one aspect of it. People have to be able to qualify.
Yeah.
Rewards.
For outcome-based programs, there has to be a reasonable alternative standard. It has to be provided for those that can't reach the main goal.
Meaning that they are, let's say that the company pays for that service.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time. We could talk about this forever, but I appreciate y'all visiting with us. And if y'all have any questions whatsoever, you could always go to KaiserHealthTalk.com and reach us by there, and we'll be more than happy to relay that message over to IBTX Risk Services and Gayla and Pedro. You are listening to Kaiser Health Talk, and this is Lenore Kaiser.